Well, what a great trip we had in the Holy Lands. And most of our team, I think, is back now after their world tour. How you doing, Val? How's your sleep? You're okay now? Beautiful. So good. Well, we're going to come around the Word of God this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 20. We're going to preach 2 weeks on this passage this morning called the Parable of the Laborers. But really, to be honest, as we unpack this parable, you'll begin to realize that, in fact, it's not about a parable about the laborers. It's, in fact, a parable about a gracious landowner. And so my heart is, my prayer is that you would have a fresh revelation of the grace of God this morning and next week, and you'll begin to see God's heartbeat and the way that he has chosen to bless us and how we can function in his kingdom so that we're not operating out of law, but we are receiving and adopting the spirit of grace. Can you say amen? Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Now, I do need to tell you that this story or this parable is only in the book of Matthew. So no other gospel writers decided to place it in. But obviously, Matthew being a tax collector, most of his kind of bent was towards finances. And in fact, Matthew spoke about finances more than any other gospel writer. So let's reflect on this and let's receive something from God today. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like." So it's not literal, it is like. "A landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day," a denarius being a full day's salary. So if you want to know what a denarius is, think of what you earn for the day, and it's kind of somewhere around there. "And sent them into his vineyard. About 9 o'clock in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again at about noon and about 3 in the afternoon, and he did the same thing. About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go into my vineyard.'" Verse 8, "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages.'" It's payday. Everyone say amen. "Beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired at about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius." That is a full day's pay. 1 hour's worth of work, full day's pay. How many of you know that's a good deal? "So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you gave them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave to you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last." I was in Cape Town for Kelly Lorisella, now Kelly Vites. We've kind of been pronouncing it wrong. When I was over there, you have to like Vites, spit on everybody as you're saying her new surname. I've not been to South Africa since I was about 6 years of age. While I was in Cape Town, Brendan Andrews was my kind of traveling partner. A lot of memories started to come back. And as I was reflecting on this parable, one of the memories that came back to me, I was 8 years of age when my family immigrated to Australia, was seeing the amount of people that would hang out in marketplaces and so on, waiting to get picked up for work. So what we have here is we have a cultural setting where people would go to a central gathering place. A landowner would come, a farmer owns a vineyard or some form of crop. He would come and he would ask for a series of workers to come and to work, whether it would be sugarcane fields or reaping wheat, whatever it may be. And these people would come, and as the day would progress, he would realize where he was up to, knowing that perhaps we're not going to complete it by the end of the day, so I'm going to go to the central gathering place for workers and I'm going to pick up some more workers because I've got to get the job done. And I remember as a kid in South Africa seeing this, particularly at marketplaces, where the men would just hang around waiting for a lorry of some sort to come along, and all these men would jump in the back and then they would go and work in the sugarcane fields for the day. So these men go, and of course we have in this story four time slots. Everyone say four. So you have men who are picked up at 6 a.m. Then later on in the morning you had men who were picked up at 9 a.m., then 12, and then 5 p.m. Well, these men, they go, they work, and of course you know the story, that at the end of the day, the boss tells the foreman, hey, go and collect all the workers. It's now payday. It's pay time. We want to give the salary that we said we were going to give. And something very interesting happens in this parable. He calls those who started at 5 p.m., in other words, they work from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m., and he gives to them a day's salary. Now, it's kind of generous because, gee, what a great boss to work for. Super generous and kind of going beyond really what he should give, but he chooses to be generous. Now, you can imagine those who started at 6 a.m., started at 6, worked through to 6, that's 12 hours worth of work. You would naturally assume that they would then get 12 times as much as those who worked for 1 hour. So beginning with the last, he eventually works his way backwards, and it gets to the 6 a.m. people, and they get the exact same salary as those who started at 5 p.m. Now, if this was your workplace, how many of you know that the Fair Work Ombudsman would be getting a personal phone call from you? You would be contacting your local MP, and you are going to do something about this because we are not used to this in our culture in, well, let's just call it industrial relations. There are legislations, there are laws in place to make sure that your boss looks after you and that you receive a fair work or fair salary for the work that you've done. Now, I looked at this story, and to be honest, I have to say, God, this is kind of a little bit unfair. It's unfair on those who've borne the heat of the day versus those who've been sipping lattes all day, rock up at 5 p.m., and they get a full day's salary. And who knows, in that last kind of 5 to 6 p.m., the pace is probably a little bit different, and they still have to pack everything away. So maybe they only did 30 minutes worth of work before they had to pack all the equipment away, but yet they still get given a full day's salary. Now, I'm going to digress just for a moment, and then we'll come back to our train of thought. The common interpretation that you may have heard about this parable is that it's a parable that's speaking about Jews and Gentiles. The Jews were the first, and then eventually you and I, the Gentiles, we came along, and God in his grace blessed us. His love reached out to us. Well, it's a nice interpretation, but it's kind of wrong. And so as we journey in the parable, you begin to realize that it's actually unpacking for us and giving us a glimpse into the grace of God. So then the question is, what then does this parable mean? And how does it reflect the heart of God to you and I? And how can we then apply this to our lives? Because it's talking about kingdom culture. And to be effective in any culture, you must understand kingdom culture. So we get to understand what this parable means by looking firstly at verse 1. Verse 1 gives us the key. Watch this, it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner." Who's the landowner? It's God himself. "Who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyards." This is kingdom work. It's what you and I do on a weekly basis. We are serving, we are contributing, we are working in the kingdom of God. So God comes, he calls us to acts of service. Amen. Blessed to be a, come on church, blessed to be a blessing. He calls us and we work in his vineyard. Now I want you to notice verse 2. Here's our key to this. It says he agreed. Everyone say the word agreed. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day. Now, of all the groups that worked, there were four groups, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., midday, and the slackers at 5 p.m. And 5 p.m., the only group where there was an agreement was with those who started at 6 a.m. So I looked at this and I said, God, why is it that four groups, but only the 6 a.m. group, the vineyard owner, agreed to pay them a certain salary for the day? Shouldn't it be that if you are a business owner, if you're a leader, if you're a director in a company, you know that before anyone starts work, there has to be an agreement that's put in place. They sign, you sign, someone else triple checks it and they sign as well too. Agreements are a part of our culture. And so we see an inconsistency in how God, the business owner, the director of this company, how he leads or employs these people. The 6 a.m. people, super agreement. The Fair Work Ombudsman would be super happy. God, you've passed the test. Well done. But for the 9, 12, and 5 p.m., no agreement whatsoever. Now, we have agreements in place so that you as a worker are not abused. Because you might go and start at midday, hypothetically, and because there's no agreement in place, the boss could say, thanks for working 6 hours. Here's your McDonald's stamp. I hope you win. Now, we have agreements in place because it's there to protect you from being abused. It's there to make sure that you are able to earn your salary, function in life. But in this scenario, the 9 a.m., midday, 5 p.m., zero agreement. God seems to be inconsistent in the way that he deals with his employees. You with me this morning? So what's happening in this parable? It's trying to point out for us, remember, the kingdom of heaven is like. If you understand kingdom culture, you get to understand God's heart, the way he thinks, the way he behaves, the way he acts. It's trying to point out to us that God's heart and the way that God wants to bless us is not based on the power of agreements. When we choose to serve God based out of agreement, we start to adopt into our lives the spirit of entitlement. And entitlement is all about, I do, therefore God, you must do. I have done, therefore God, you should respond in this particular way. So what we are observing in this parable this morning is a picture of law and a picture of grace. 6 a.m., law. 9, 12, 5 p.m., a picture of grace. Those who started at 9, midday, and 5 p.m. had only one thing to do. All they could do is trust, come on church, all they could do is trust in the integrity of the landowner because there was no agreement in place, but I trust in his character and I know that he is good. The kingdom of heaven is like. This, in essence, number one, is calling us that if we're going to work in the kingdom of God, if we are going to serve in the kingdom of God, if we are going to give our lives in the kingdom of God to be a blessing to other people, number one, God always calls us to a place of trust. If it's about transaction, you've missed the heart of God. If it's about I do, therefore God must do, or I have done, Lord, see my faithfulness over the last 36 years, therefore I expect God that you should do, we've moved our hearts to the early worker, which is now based on law, rather than realizing, I don't know everything that God's going to do come 6 p.m. and how he's going to reward me, but I choose to trust in his character and I choose to trust in his integrity. Can you say amen? So these workers who came to an agreement, God was not unjust or unfair. He paid them what he said he was going to do. But the point is this. When you live in a position of trust rather than negotiating with God, God, I will do, now you will do. I said, now you are going to respond in this way. When you fall into the grace of God, I don't know what the outcome is. But the point is, it's far better off leaning and falling into the grace of God than trying to be a negotiator with God. You will be far more blessed by his grace. Come on, church. You will be far more blessed by his grace than your works will ever merit. God dispenses gifts, not wages. Come on, church. God dispenses gifts, not wages. He's not the transactional God. He's not the genie God. Let's rub the bottle. I did this now. Woo! Yeah, there you go. This is about a relationship of trust. Now, stay with me. There are people that are here today. You've served. You've given of your life. But in the journey, you feel like you bore the heat of the day. Man, I was out there, I was sweating for the church. I'm sweating for my life group. God, where's my compensation? Now, I don't know where your compensation is. I don't know how God's going to reward you. But be careful of adopting the spirit of an early worker. And do not become transactional with God. Because you will receive a reward, because God is faithful to his promises, but it will be transactional in nature, as opposed to the God who gives over and above. That's called the grace of God. Number two. Oh, here we go, Christians. This is for all the believers this morning. Oh, let me have a drink. Sacrifice should never become a bargaining chip with God. Shondai. Sacrifice should never become a bargaining chip with God. Look at what they say in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 20. These who were hired last worked only for 1 hour. Oh, come on. They said, and you have made them, watch the spirit of comparison now kicking in. When you become transactional with God, here we go, you will only feel better about yourself when others are less blessed. They said, and you have made them equal to us, who have borne. I mean, the burden of, listen, these guys are like, Lord, I've got like, you know, blisters, my hands are bleeding, I've worked. That's law. That's what law will do to you. Who have borne the burden of the work and the, gee, how poetic is this? And the heat of the day. Now, the early workers were upset because they had been in the vineyard longer. They're upset because they worked harder than everybody else. We've borne the burden. We've worked in the heat of the day. We were laboring while these guys were in the marketplace having a flat white. What are they saying? Watch this. Our sacrifice was greater. In other words, sacrifice has now become a bargaining chip with God. Church, when our sacrifice becomes a bargaining chip in the kingdom of God, we've started to lose sight of the grace of God. How many of you drive here this morning? Give me a wave if you have your license. About 50% of us, we can help you with that after church. Imagine at the end of this year, the New South Wales government contacts you and says, we've watched you driving all year. We've noticed that when you came to the stop sign, you waited for 3-4 seconds, you looked left, you looked right. How many of you are good at that? When you came to turn right, you put your blinker on, your indicator on. When you were in the 40 zone, the school zone, you did 39. We've watched you all year. And because of the way that you've driven, we are now going to reward you with a $1,000 check for Christmas. Who'd like that from the New South Wales government? How many of you would fail? Now watch this. It would seem odd if that was the case. Do you know why? Because it's your expected duty that you would do that anyway. We serve God. We sacrifice, we give of our lives, and we use it as a bargaining chip before God. But God's saying, it's actually your expected duty. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, what is it going to say? That you would present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable act of service. In the Old Testament, they sacrificed. And a lot of sacrifices, thousands. But God implemented something in the sacrificial system, because I don't know about you, if you ever driven in the country and gone past the dead animal, it's like, roll the windows up, it stinks. So God says we're going to burn incense. The incense is representative of worship. When your sacrifice is all about sacrifice, guess what? It starts to smell. It must be mixed with worship. And the incense offsets the smell of the sacrifice. Come on, church. Now watch this. The joy of the early vineyard workers now depends on the later workers receiving a lower blessing. In other words, they are saying they're too blessed. That's what they're saying in their hearts. They're too blessed and we're less blessed because we've given of the greater sacrifice. Church, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life, the wellspring of life. You must guard your heart. So this is what I do to keep myself in check, because I just want to give you a solution as well. Not too much. Here's a solution. This is what I constantly remind myself of. In fact, I have this on my iPad here. It's ripped off at the moment because I needed to take it off for Kelly Weitz, his wedding, because it wouldn't have looked good in the photos. But I have this on my iPad every time I preach. Here we go. The sacredness of your call is not where he places you. The sacredness of your call is that he places you. Come on, Shiloh, if you're here this morning, you need to take a photo of that. The sacredness of your call is not where he places you. The sacredness of your call is that he places you. Keeps my heart in balance. Keeps my heart in check. That I get to serve. We're not comparing sacrifice, because as soon as I start comparing sacrifice between the 6, 9, midday, 5 p.m., guess what's starting to happen? And I need to start to worship. I need to start to worship, because thank God for the opportunity that you've had and I have had to serve. Amen. Number 3. Allow God to stir you with his grace. Now, those of you who are bosses today, you have a series of employees, and let's just say, hypothetically, it's coming close to Christmas, it's time to give out some bonuses. If you want a bonus, say amen. Front row is faith, the rest of you. With the measure that you use, it will be. Just kidding. Now, this is the odd thing about God, the owner. He's giving out bonuses, salary. I thought salaries were supposed to be done in private. They all come together, $50 for you, $80 for you, or you've been awesome, $1,000 for you. But this guy, he's been an incredible blessing to the company. We're going to give you $5,000 for Christmas. God, it almost seems unfair, kind of, you know, not right in some ways, to bring everyone together and to distribute the salaries in a public forum. You with me, church? Why would God, the master boss, bring everyone together? So here's yours, here's yours. Everyone's like clapping, great. He's upset. He was hoping for more. Oh, that's so funny. He got a $20 Woolworths voucher. Oh, yeah, I had to laugh at that. That was awesome. Now watch what he does. This is the bit that's even more offensive. Matthew chapter 20, verse 8 says, "When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages.'" Public setting, public forum. Lord, you need to learn about the Privacy Act. "Beginning with the last," that is those who started at 5 p.m., "beginning with the last ones hired and going to the 6 a.m. workers." You would think that you'd start with those who started at 6. That's what logic would suggest. But, or do it privately so that nobody gets offended, but God, the master owner, the master business owner, does it in the public forum. Who's ready for this to happen at their workplace? Oh, don't say amen to that. Now, watch what's happening. God is in fact trying to stir grace. What do I mean by that? That was our point number 3. Allow God to stir you with his grace. God intentionally starts with the 5 p.m. workers so that those who started at 3, midday, and 6 a.m. would see the generous nature of his heart. So the generous nature of his heart is not there for the midday workers to say, "We should have received 6 times as much." Their heart should have said, "He's so good, I wonder what he's going to do for me." But instead, the 6 a.m. workers, they were hoping for 12 times as much. They receive the same amount as the 5 p.m. workers, not understanding the economy of grace. They're not living by grace. It's all about an agreement. It's all about our sacrifice. It's all about what we've done. Not realizing the generous heart of God. Law is, I do, God does. Grace is, it's all about him. It's all about his kindness. It's all about his goodness. I don't know what the outcome is, but I figured something out about this landowner. He is generous. Have you ever found God blessing someone who started at 5 p.m. ahead of you? He brings them out. It's a public forum. They're like, "Oh, I received a check this week." They're doing the happy dance. "I've never received a check before, but God gave me $12,826. It's exactly what I needed to pay off my car." And you're like, "But I've been serving God for 36 years. I was here vacuuming the front of the church. They rocked up to Jesus a week ago. What's God trying to do?" He's trying to offend you or stir you with his grace. He's saying, "Look at what I can do." And you've got to realize. So he says to them, he says, "Is your eye evil? Because I'm good." What's happened in your heart when it's all about your sacrifice and you've forgotten about my generous nature? Amen, church. The Spirit manifested, watch this, went The Spirit manifested in these 6 a.m. workers. Let me ask you a question. When did it expose itself? It exposed itself. It didn't happen in the heat of the day, right? It's not like, "Oh man, my back's sore, going hard. It's 47 degrees Celsius outside." It never manifested then. When did it manifest? When they saw the other vineyard workers being blessed. When other people are blessed around you, ahead of you, what happens in your heart? When people kind of come on the scene who started in the church maybe, 0.2 hours ago, but all of a sudden God elevates them and they're doing great things for God, what happens in our heart? When you seem to have borne the heat of the day and you've been serving in the kingdom for 7,622 years and God just elevates out of the blue the 5 o'clock worker, do you start to compare your sacrifice with theirs? Because one thing I will tell you is that if we treat God under the spirit of the law, you will get something. but it won't be what the generous landowner wants to in fact give you. Stop comparing your sacrifice. It's wrong. It's sinful. It's not the heart of God. Thank God that you and I have had the opportunity to serve. And my challenge to you is fall into the grace of God. The parable of the generous landowner is him inviting you, saying, come into my vineyard and let me reward you. Don't be transactional with me. Let me reward what you've given. I see it. I see your faithfulness. I see your generosity. Let me be the one that rewards you. Church, I've made a decision over many years of ministry that when I see the grace of God in somebody else's life, I don't start comparing. Okay, my sacrifice. Brad was 20 when he started in full-time ministry. He was on $9.72 an hour. He works like a slave. He's got lines on his back because of it. Do you know what I do? I choose to bless it. I choose to bless when I see the grace of God rather than comparing my greatest sacrifice, which in essence was God working through me anyway. When I see people having their car paid off somehow, some way, bless it, Lord. Good on you, Jesus. You're an awesome landowner. When I see a child receiving a scholarship and advancing and excelling in their career, bless them, Lord. What a generous landowner we have. When I see someone having a ministry breakthrough and they get a $1 million check in their church, I flesh out for about 3 minutes and then I say, but then I come good because I'm a self-corrector. All the self-correctors say amen. You know what I do? I say, bless him, Lord. He's a generous landowner. My turn's coming in Jesus' name. When I see people or hear of people paying off their mortgage, I feel real bad for about 10 seconds, but I am a self-corrector. And I say, bless them, Lord. What a generous landowner we have. How do you want to be rewarded? Do you want to be rewarded because, God, I bore the heat of the day? You see my back? It's like sore now. You saw me pushing that thing. No one else was around. They were supposed to be here at 7 a.m. vacuuming, and I'm the only one here. Now, I'm not into sloppiness. Please understand that. I do believe we should serve God with excellence. Amen. In case you're worried now. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. That's not an excuse not to turn up 1 minute before you're supposed to be there. But if you've ever felt overworked in the kingdom of God, underpaid and underappreciated, welcome. Me too. I've been in seasons where I felt forgotten, worked my tail off, gave my heart into the kingdom of God, but I've learned that he's the God of balance, he's the God of justice, he's the God of mercy, and if I look for my reward in where I serve rather than sowing it into the heart and the hand of God, who in the end is the generous landowner, where do I want my reward to come from? Do I want it to come from starting at 6 a.m. working to 6 p.m.? Here's my denarius for the day. Or do I want to say, you are the generous landowner. We haven't come to an agreement, but I choose to trust in your grace and in your kindness. Can you say amen? Come on, church, can you say amen? If I could have the musicians and singers, please. I think about the guys who started at 5 p.m., you know, 60 minutes to go. And imagine when it comes time for the pay time. Look this way, everybody. They're good looking, but I'm trying. 60 minutes to go. And they had no idea what they were going to receive. Could have been $2, $5. There was no agreement. So whatever the landowner chose to give, well, that would be fair. But you see God's heartbeat reflected. Now, this is what the point I wanted to make. When you feel that time has passed you by, you look at some of the young people, you look at Jackson, you look at Alyssa, and they're preaching, and it's like, man, if only I could be 21 again with hair. And you feel as though time's gone on, you've missed it. Particularly often, this can, I'm not saying always, can happen to people who get saved or give their heart to the Lord in their 30s, 40s, 50s. It's like, wow, I've wasted so much time. I've missed it. Not true. 60 minutes to go, but yet they were richly rewarded. And it all comes down to how you want to measure it. Do you want to measure it by 6 a.m.? Man, I have sacrificed so good. Now 6 p.m. Well done, thou good and famous servant. Or I've got to serve. I've got to do it all alongside of Jesus. And if that's my reward, that I got to do it with Jesus, how awesome's that? Church, it's never too late. It's never too late. This is what I'm talking about. Hear me now on this. This is the economy of grace. The economy of grace. The economy of the goodness of God. Stop comparing your sacrifice to everybody else's. Throw it into the hands of Jesus and say, thank you, Lord, that I had the opportunity to serve. All for the glory of God. Amen. I'll finish with this. Just before I came to Shire Life, it's 11:01 a.m. I know I've gone over time, but who's ready to receive another word? I'm just following the cloud. Cloud by day, fire by night. I remember being tormented by a comment that a leader had spoken over my life. This is 5 years ago, prior to transitioning into Shire Life. I was in Campbelltown, of all places. I'm living in Adelaide. I'm in Campbelltown, as in here. And what this person said tormented me. Now, I'm speaking to someone this morning. Tormented me. It's just negative words. And how many of you know some people can be really nice? Just, it tormented my soul. I didn't tell anybody because I want to be Brad the leader, but in my soul, I questioned myself. I questioned my abilities. You know, your confidence starts to take a bit of a hit. And I didn't know how to resolve it. You know, maybe go and talk to the person. You know, follow the principles of the Word of God. If your brother offends you, go and talk to him. But this was an unusual brother. So I didn't know if that was going to work. So I made a decision, fall into the grace of God. I was in Campbelltown in some motel there for a meeting that I had to go to. And it's about 4 o'clock or so in the afternoon on the Friday. I said, Lord, I have given. I have sacrificed. I have given my best. Where is the Fair Workers Ombudsman in this situation? And all I could do was fall into the grace of God. Words tormented me. I'm a human being as well. When people say negative things about me, I'm not Superman. It doesn't bounce off my chest. I have a heart. I have a soul. I have a spirit. I have a family. People speak about me. It's like, ooh, okay, Lord, that's yours now. And it went into my soul. And I fell on my knees and I said, God, I fall into grace. I fall into grace. I don't know what to do in this situation, but I fall into grace. I tell you what, church, I remember about 3 or 4 days later, it may have been a little bit longer, I remember driving in the car one day and it was like, words are gone. I didn't like have to command and, you know, I just fell into the love of the gracious landowner. I just fell into his love and say, God, I don't understand the situation, but I'm falling into the hands of the gracious landowner. Little did I know that a few weeks later, a phone call would come about a church called Shy Life. Maybe a great blessing is on the other side if you're willing to fall into grace. What is grace? Grace is the undeserved, unmerited, unearned favor of God. Amen. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And he's calling you into his vineyard to work for him. He will richly reward you in Jesus' name. Father.